Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing? So we're really into this fast now. We're like in the meat of it. And my husband and I were talking yesterday on the phone, and he'd been reading about Gideon. And when I heard the story of Gideon growing up, and I heard also growing up that you're not supposed to doubt God, you're not supposed to test God, you're not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to ask why. And since coming to this home, I have learned it's okay to say why. It's okay to test him. Because when we test God, he also tests our faith for us. So we can strengthen our faith and he can show us our weak spots. And in this fast, this is what is coming to the front for a lot of us, our weak spots. Places that we need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. And when it comes to Gideon, Gideon was of the least of the tribes, the least family, and he was the least of his family. And he was threshing wheat in a hole, so their enemies, the Midianites, would not see him. And this is what struck me in my conversation with my husband. It was, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And so my husband and I's conversation was, you know what? God meets us where we're at. He knew Gideon was the least of the least, but he spoke to Gideon as if he was the best of the best and the mightiest of the mightiest and the strongest of the strongest and the wisest of the wisest. And this is how God speaks to us. This world will tell us we are nothing, we are worthless. But God says, you are mine.
Yeah, come on.
You are the daughter of the Most High. You are the son of the Most High. You are mine. And in this fast, when we feel our weakest and the enemy comes at us with this crap, remember, God sees you as the warrior and warrioress that you are.
Come on. Yeah. Come on. Let's stand, church. We just say yes to that. Today we step into that truth today, God, that we are warriors, Lord. Your word calls us more than conquerors. Yeah. And even if you don't feel like a conqueror, that's okay. Because that's how God identifies you. And you're a mighty warrior.
The battle is won, and my battle is won, even if Come in to kiss the foot of the cross, where I am made complete, and you have given me life through the death you bore for me.
I'm not singing, you won my heart,
and you won
I never hear.
Bye.
That he has for you.
Be in awe of him. Look around. Don't take for granted the tiny little things. The things that seem so small but are so big. Thank you.
feel like there's some rededications in this place today. If that's you, if you're feeling a tugging at your heart to rededicate your life to Jesus this morning, I just want you to come up to the front. Jesus has been calling you back home for a long time. He's saying, son, he's saying, daughter, I'm not mad at you. I'm not holding your past against you. I just want you to be free. I just want you to be free. So stop running. Stop hiding. You are a warrior. We can do this together. If that's you, don't hesitate. Come up to the front. Lay it down. The Lord's ready to receive you with open arms, open heart. Ready to say, welcome home, son. Welcome home, daughter. I've kept a room for you. It's nice and cozy just for you.
Nothing else. just want us to think for a moment how the stars and the flowers and the mountains, everything does exactly what God commands it to do. Because he spoke them into existence with his words. He commanded them and they were. But with us, he took special care. And he didn't just speak us into existence, but he took time and he molded and shaped and breathed his life into, because he doesn't want us just to do the things that he says to do for the sake of doing them, but because he loves us and there's intentionality with us. He wants that personal, intimate relationship. And even if your pot isn't exactly how it was when he first created it, it's even more beautiful now with the cracks from what this person said or that offense or whatever, because now his light is able to shine through those imperfections like it was always supposed to. We were never meant to hide him in ourselves. We were meant to shine him out even when we mess up, especially when things aren't going our way, or especially when things are hurting. That's when we need to be digging deeper and pressing in harder, not retracting, because he knows. He counted every single hair on your head, every freckle on your face, anything you can think of on your body, he knows. Every transgression, anything that's happened to you, he's not aware. He thinks it's beautiful if you allow him to come in and make it shine. So I just want to invite you right now for the next minute to just put your hands out. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. And just let him begin to speak the things that he thinks of you. Yes, with this fast, we're being emptied out, right? Emptied out of ourselves and our old mindsets. And he just wants to put things back in. He wants his light to begin to burn so brightly in us. Yes, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Will we just sing that again? I just want you. I want you guys just to hold out your hands and allow the Lord to sing this over you. Because more than we want him, he just wants you. Nothing else. Nothing else.
Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you, and nothing else, and nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you, and nothing else, and nothing else, and nothing else will do. And all I need is you, Lord, is you, Lord. All I need is you. Oh, Jesus, all I need is you, Lord, is you, Lord. And all I need is you. All I need is you.
Thank you for loving us just as we are, God. And thank you that when we're broken in spots, God, that you shine even brighter. God, that you don't find us useless, but yet you repurpose us. I'm so thankful, God, that you love to spend time with us. And I thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit to fill us, God, in your absence. So Jesus, we just give this day to you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, guys. You guys are amazing. I'm so excited to see you, and I want to have opportunity to come and speak with you. So if you guys would just take about 2 minutes, let's get up and just greet one another again and just begin to fellowship for about 2 minutes, and then we'll come back together and get some stuff going.
Sky is heavy. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for family, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the ability to be part of the kingdom of God, the family of God. We just ask you, Lord, to be with those that couldn't be with us here today, Lord, and just bless them as well. Let them experience your richness of your presence. Father, right now we just want to lift Yakima Valley to you. Lord, this place that we call home, Lord, this place that you have set us at as individuals at this time to be here and living in this place and living among others, Lord. And we pray that, Lord, that Yakima would be touched, Lord, with your presence. Lord, that there would be a atmosphere, Lord, of God, that people would start to experience, Lord, that they would start to experience your presence. They would start to experience your love, Lord. They would start to experience, Lord, your delivering power, Lord, your healing power, Lord, that all of the goodness of God, the resources of heaven that you have allocated for Yakima, Lord, would be released in this place. And that people's hearts would turn towards you, Lord, and that they would receive, Lord, the salvation that they need. Lord, that they would leave the things that have been attracting them and captivating their attention, Lord, and that they would find you, Lord, the true reason, Lord, to live. We just pray right now for every school. We pray, Lord, for the government, Lord. We pray for all the areas of recreation that takes place in this place. Lord, that there would just be your presence and your atmosphere, Lord, that would permeate this area. We just thank you, Lord, that you are touching hearts and you are touching lives, Lord. And help us as One Life Family Worship, Lord, to do our part to reach Yakima one life at a time. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh. No, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Awesome. Are you going to change it or do you want me to change the slide?
I'll change the slide.
Okay. Well, you're going to talk about the slide, so.
We're going to talk about the slide? Okay. Let's see. Where do we want to go next? Prayer?
Prayer. Tell us your heart behind this, Pastor Mike.
The prayer night. All-night prayer. How many have ever been at an all-night prayer night? Anybody? A couple of us? That's four up here. Well?
Marian.
Oh, Marian, you've been to an all-night prayer night. Awesome. There is an experience that you get when you're spending a lot of time seeking the Lord that you can't get any other way. It's like you're marinating in His presence. You're marinating in the atmosphere. And so what we want to do is give everybody an opportunity, not just those that are part of the 21-day fast, but those especially that are the 21-day fast, come and join us from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. if you're so inclined to stay that long. We'll be there. And we're going to be just, you know, creating an atmosphere where we're praying about the things that have been on our hearts for the last 20, you know, it will be 20 days by then. And just allow God to maybe put other things on our hearts that are important to Him this year or in the coming days. Maybe have an opportunity to pray for each other. We'll just see what God does. But it's a focused night of prayer. We'll have some worship. We'll have some time of just being quiet before the Lord and speaking aloud before the Lord, praying in the Spirit, if you pray in the Spirit. But it's an opportunity to press in, to passionately, purposefully pursue God. And that is what this 21 days is about. So when we were I think the beginning of the year, I think we were just starting to talk about prayer, and Nancy was having an altar call, and it was during that time that I really felt inspired that we needed an all-night prayer, and so this is your opportunity to join us.
Hi, guys. Okay, anyway, sorry. I'm just really still feeling from, like, worship, you know, just that presence that was so heavy. I don't know if anybody else, but I was jamming. Yeah, I was having fun with the Lord. And actually, that's kind of this whole fasting thing. It's been different than any other fast I've done. I don't know if you guys feel the same, but it feels like, yeah, Yeah, I just feel, I think it's nice to have the united front as well of others that are doing, you know, that we can encourage one another. That's so helpful. I love watching you guys, like, rising up and giving encouraging words, too. It just speaks right to my spirit. And I just feel like there are hard moments, but they're not what I feel like they've been in the past. It's been, like, a different kind of hard, a hard that seems doable. But I think it's because in this one, I think I'm more focused in being filled by Him instead of just taking things away and grinning and bearing through it, you know? And so in one of my devotions, they had talked about or highlighted that from the beginning of time, the Holy Spirit, I'm going to just read this, from beginning over and over in Scripture, God, through His Spirit, fills up whatever is empty to accomplish His purposes in the world. And that to me was like, wow, that is so true. Like, He, and right now, what a better time than to be aware of that, like, us stripping ourselves and becoming empty of these things that we've allowed to become habit or take room that shouldn't have, and we're just laying them down. But when we do that, we're able to lean into Holy Spirit, right? And not just, you know, God, you put your forehead to forehead with God, but also allowing Holy Spirit to come in and fill those spots that are now void so that nothing else takes root, right? Nothing else can come and take its place. And so, like, in the beginning, Genesis 1:2-3, yeah, it says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light," which is really good. And then Sarah's womb, she was barren and old, near death, shouldn't have been able to conceive, which is Luke 1:35. Yeah. Oh, no, Hebrews 11. 11 to 12. "And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from the one man..." Oh, gosh. Am I? Okay. "And from the one man..." And he, no, my eyes are blurry because I've been crying. And he has... Let me try this way. There we go. Okay. "And so from this one man, and he as good as dead," meaning Abraham, "came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore." You guys...
No, go ahead.
Okay. And then in Luke 1:35, it goes into Mary. I'm just giving you guys examples. Like, so I'm going to just stop there for a second. But, like, so here it is, this place of emptiness, darkness, and then the Holy Spirit hovers over it and begins to fill it with life and light and things alike, right? And beauty. And then Sarah, who was burdened her whole life, wanting a child but not being able to have one, and God made this promise, and she had to continue to stay steadfast in that, even though she's getting older, her womb is not getting any younger, and yet she's still like, "Okay, God, us as women, we know you're like..." And it's going to go, right? So you're like, "Come on, Lord." Like, but she stayed steadfast. I mean, they did waver at one point, and she gave him as a maidservant, but that's her trying to take charge, right? She took God out of God's spot and didn't let him do his thing, trying to take control of what she thought he said she should do, trying to make sense of the promise, right? Sometimes I think we get in this mode where we feel like we have to make excuses for the Lord or make it work so that it's understandable to others around us. But that's not what he's asking. He said, "No, I'm going to give this to you. Do you trust me?" And so this is a time as we're, like, stripping ourselves and getting rid of these, like, old mindsets to be able to just lean in and allow Holy Spirit to come in. If you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit yet, I would love to bless you today and just pray over you and allow you to begin one. Because what an amazing thing that is. Yeah? Anybody have anything?
So as Nancy is talking, I'm trying to think in my getting over COVID brain, which is very, very lax. But I'm saying to myself, where the flesh is weak, the spirit can be strong. Mm-hmm. And that's what a fast is about. So for anybody that's not understanding this fast word, we've been on a 21-day fast here at the church, and people are fasting different things. It's not just food. It's like Pastor Eric fasting coffee, and some people are fasting media, and some people are fasting food, and some people are fasting sugar, just no sweets, no nothing like that. So as we have been struggling the last couple of weeks, not just going through the fast, but also going through COVID, I've noticed how weak my flesh really is. And I was sharing with Tara just before service, and I'm like, oh, that girl is so gnarly, like me, not Tara, me. And I'm just like, you know, I've got such a snarky attitude this time for some reason. I'm not sure if that has something to do with COVID or I'm just so sick and tired of COVID. But I'm like, Jesus, take over. Like, you know, it's that song, Jesus, take the wheel. Mm-hmm. Because I can't do this on my own, you know? Yeah. And so that's what you're saying, is that the Holy Spirit can take over where our flesh is very weak. Mm-hmm. And I feel weak today. I feel very, I don't even know how to describe it, but I'm wanting Holy Spirit to come in and take over where my flesh lacks, where I am not able to do it. And so he is so kind and gracious to do that for us. He is so powerful that sometimes even when we don't realize that we need to ask him to take over, he takes over anyway.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like in a mean way, not in a bad way, just like, okay, come on, you know, be a good girl, stop that attitude, like let's move on, let's get over the COVID issue and let's move on in Jesus.
Well, it's like a redirection, like when it's one of your kids, yes. Yeah, like when one of your kids is doing something they're supposed to be doing and you gently come along, like oop, or like Tegan, he's not doing anything necessarily wrong, he just really wants to get up on the stage or something, so I've got to whoop, let's go this way, buddy boy, and he
redirect
might not like
him.
It, yeah.
Yes, I love that, that's a very good word. I'm going to ask Holy Spirit to redirect me, because I could see myself going down a very unpopular lane if I let myself. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Mm-hmm. So I can feel it. I can tell you it started yesterday, and it's from 24 hours progressively gotten worse and worse in my mind. Mm. Now, whether or not anybody else notices that about me or not, I know it enough about myself to recognize, Jesus, I need you to take over here, because it's starting to really, really overpower me. And so we have to be willing to let Holy Spirit do that. He's not going to, I mean, he can suggest in a loving way. He can redirect in a sweet, gentle way. But we have to be aware, you know, this is a spiritual battle, you guys. This
Absolutely.
Is not about flesh. This, the scripture says it over and over again. This is not a flesh battle. It's a spiritual battle. Life in general, period. It's a spiritual battle. So we have to fight from the supernatural. We have to fight from the spirit.
That's super good. And that's actually where my point was going. That's why I wanted to give these examples to you guys, because it's the part that was really pressed on my heart is that we're coming to the end of the fast, right? This is our last week, and we're going to be digging in even harder, going in even deeper. And it's going to feel that much, you know, we're coming to the end, right? And it was at the end of Jesus's fast for 40 days when he was in the desert, right after that, guess who came and began? The enemy. And he started to bring questions of doubt and try to twist what had actually happened and the things that were going on in the desert. And it's so I feel really impressed in my spirit to encourage us. Yeah, I'm saying us, because me too, that we're making sure that we're doing exactly as she said, that we are leaning into Holy Spirit, allowing him to fill that place, but also, even after the fast, making sure that we're leaning into one another and that we're exposing these things, that whatever it is, if there's a question of doubt, any kind of anxiety, any kind of fear or whatever that starts to pop up, or these things that are going on, like a sickness starts to come at you or whatever, because the enemy doesn't create new things. He can't.
He can only distort, and he only has a few tricks. That's it. And they're not even tricks. They're really quite annoying, right? So it's like recognizing that, calling it for what it is, and making sure that we're turning those lights on in the darkness of ourselves, and then not allowing us to go introspective, but instead leaning into community, leaning into the Lord, and speaking those things out so that way He can fill it with truth, or the people around you can do that, so that way we don't get lost and begin to deny the things that were happening in this time.
Me and a couple friends were talking about possibly doing a women's conference, and we were going to do it on knockoff or real. Because how many brands are out there that there's a knockoff of it? Like, you know, Gucci or Michael Kors or what? I don't know, because I don't have any of that kind of stuff, but you know what I mean? There's a knockoff brand, and if you know what to look for, you can tell whether or not it's genuine or fake.
And how do you know
if it's genuine or fake? Mm-hmm. And that's what I feel like this week is going to really, ouch, I really feel it, is really going to narrow in on. Are we genuinely wanting God to take away all of that fluff and stuff that we have been walking in our life with? Or do we want to just continue on with the fake stuff that's attached to the genuine to make it look like it's real?
Right.
And so, I don't know if you've ever heard this term or not, but have you ever heard it said, if you want something good, you should buy the best. Mm-hmm. You should get the very best, yeah. Not something that's the knockoff. If you want something that's going to last, buy the real, buy the good, buy the best of that there is. And that's, Jesus has a lot of people and a lot of enemies and a lot of, you know, things that are put up there that look like Him, but are not Him.
Mm. That's really good. That actually, so in our homeschooling program right now, we're studying fine arts, which is, and we're looking into great artists of like all the different centuries, and like Giotto and all that, Michelangelo, those guys. But one thing that kind of keeps popping up in this, and I think it's relevant to what we're talking about, is back in the day, we were teaching our kids, like, we were doing an egg tempera, which is where you have to make paint from an egg base with water, and you have to grind your elements, whether it be chalk, because we have chalk available to us, they did not, but like, they used to grind their bugs, flowers, different minerals or whatever to get the specific colors that they needed for their paintings. And so they couldn't just go to a Michael's or Hobby Lobby and pick up a gallon of paint, right? It took time, and it took effort, and so they were taking intimate time to produce these products that are lasting through the ages. Like even Ghiberti, right? Leonardo Ghiberti. He created the golden doors in Italy on a church. He was asked to do it because he had the significant gift to be able to make work with stone, especially gold, and make it look like the people were popping out of the painting or the sculpture that he was doing. And that was really neat for them back then. And so when he did it, though, it took him 20 years to complete the first set of doors. 20 years. And that's with a team of people under him helping grind the colors and getting the sculptures done and putting these pieces together and then pouring the gold over. But look, if you look at it now, it's in almost exact condition as it was before. The things that we make today, our houses can't even keep their value because we're so quick to move on to the next thing and get the cheapest stuff and the quickest time and microwave this and that. God is not about that. God is all about taking in the time, pressing it in, using the pressure to get those perfect colors and that precise tempera that you need in order for things to stick to the and to hold or adhere to the base of whatever to last, right? And so it's so beautiful that, what were you saying? Why did I even go there?
No, that's good. That's because it's Jesus.
Because it's Jesus. That's how He does things. He's not interested in the quickness, the quick fixes. And so being willing to take the time and make mistakes and then have to go over and redo it again, but not counting yourself out or judging yourself too hard, because God isn't. He'll hold you accountable, that's for sure. You know, he's going to let you know, give you your checks and balances, but not because he wants to hold you there and hate on you. It's because he loves you enough to give you the hard conversations, give you a good whooping here and there, right? Because he's like, I love you enough to redirect you. And I love you enough to allow you to go through the pressure, because I know that that pressure and those elements are going to cause you to last for as long as I need you to. And beyond you, into your generation and that generation, beyond you. Because we are, the things that we're doing now are not for us. It's for those who are coming after us and their children and their children. And, you know, so what impressions are we leaving? Are they going to last, or are they just going to blow away with the wind, or the next earthquake that shifts, are they going to fall? So, yeah, and I love that with our fasting and this intentional time that we're taking with the Lord, we are going through the pressure, and we are making that intentional moves to make something that's going to last this beyond us, right, and impact our children and our children's children. And their children and the people around us, because it isn't for us, right? It's for our neighbors. It's for those who are lost. We're not meant, like, I don't want to look pretty for myself. And the other day I wrote an encouraging word about aroma. I want my aroma to begin to get so heavy that people can't help but, like, whoa, what is it about you? Why do I feel so much? Every time you come into this store, I feel peace. Like a cashier, you know, I kind of see the same ones all the time because I don't go very many places. But it's like I want them to be like, wow, what, you know, do you ever get told that when you're around, do people feel peaceful? Like, I want that question because I want people to recognize the God that's in me. And so this is what I'm fighting for. Or people to get healed and all of a sudden, like, the wrist that was maybe bothering them isn't bothering them anymore. Does that make sense? So.
Yeah, I think that in order for us to even get to that point, it all comes down to willingness. Like we had mentioned prior, like the Holy Spirit, Jesus, he can do whatever he wants. If he wants to come in here and just, we're all sent in the Spirit, he could do it. I think though, because of his gentle heart and he's a gentleman, he wants us to want it though, right? He wants us to be so desperate for all of him that he will do that. And so, you know, I say it all the time, you know, and so, but because it's just so true that this quote by Catherine Coleman, a revivalist, you know, back in the 60s or something, she said, you know, God's not looking for the perfect vessel. He's looking for the most willing vessel. Mm. Right. And so if we can get that truth in our hearts that, yeah, let's continue to do the practices, the things that, you know, we need to do, read our Bible and pray and come to church and do the things. But at the end of the day, you know, are we still willing? There's plenty of people that read their Bible and they're not willing to be used by God, or they're not willing to feel more of God. They're content. No, I've read my verse today. I've said my prayer today. I spent my 2 hours in church today. Like, I'm not interested in anything more than that, right? And all about you, I don't know about you guys, but that's a very sad existence in a Christian life. I don't want anything to do with that. Like, you know, I have better things to do than just to do the things, right? I want to make sure that I'm willing at any point. And even at your worst, he's willing, right? What do you always say, Pastor Mike, about he loves us at our worst day? I'm gonna butcher it.
Jesus didn't die for our best day. He died for our worst day.
Yeah. And we have to remember that just because you have a bad day, a bad moment, a bad week, right? You guys, before coming to church sometimes, I'm like yelling at my kids. Not like in recent days, not today, last week. No, but I've had Sundays, you guys, where I'm like, get in the car. Where's your coat? Like, you know, and I'm like not in there like, what is happening? Like, we just want to go to church and worship. And I'm like, so do I. But I say that to say, like, He's not looking for us to be these perfect specimens before he could use us, right? If any of you are waiting to get used by the Lord until you're perfect, you're never going to be used because you're never going to be perfect. Now, that doesn't mean that we attempt to live our life as close to Jesus as we possibly can. Absolutely. But there's this lie that we begin to believe where we think like, okay, I messed up today, so like, I'm not going to be used today because I messed up. And God doesn't use messed up people, right? It says it in the Bible, right? No, it doesn't, because every person in the Bible that got used aside from Jesus was a messed up person. Look at Jesus' disciples, messed up people, just messy, smelly fishermen, you know, tax collectors that everybody hated, right? Like, they were messy people. And so, you know, we need to be willing. And the temptation is in our natural is that we'll get tired. And, you know, maybe it's from the fast, or maybe it's just, I'm just worn out, right? And in the natural, our natural response to something like that is to rest. And rest is good. I know rest is biblical. However, in the spiritual, I don't think God's looking for you to rest. He's looking for you to press in, right? So I'm feeling weak. I'm feeling tired. I've been fasting for this time and it's just getting harder and the enemy's, you know, attacking me and all this stuff. And the temptation to be, I'm just going to take a break because I'm getting beat up and I'm tired. And I feel, church, that God is saying, no, yeah, you want to rest physically? That's fine. But spiritually, don't let up. Because you know who's not going to let up? The enemy. Okay? You know who's not gonna stop pursuing you like that and who's gonna catch you at the weakness? There's a reason why when Jesus was in the 40-day fast, the enemy came right when it was about to end, right? Probably right when he was the most hungry, the most thirsty, right? And the crazy thing is that Jesus had the ability to get himself out of there, right? I can turn that rock to bread. You're right. You're right, enemy. I'm going to do that. I'm going to change it to a nice loaf of Dave's Killer Bread right now, right? Because I'm hungry, right? But what did he do? He pressed in. He said, no, here's actual truth. Here's what God says. And I'm going to press in even more. And I may feel weak right now in the physical, but in the spiritual, I'm going to be very, very strong in this moment.
That's really good. That's good. Super good.
I have one thing that I just want to share really briefly. But when Nancy was sharing her thoughts this morning and this idea of being empty, I think a lot of us don't realize how empty we are. We have so many artificial things in our lives that are seemingly filling it, but aren't bringing any kind of real joy or fulfillment or even in some ways happiness. You know, it, maybe for a time it feels like it, but it's really not true. And so part of filling our emptiness is realizing that we are empty,
wow,
realizing our need, yeah, realizing that we are, as it says in Revelation, poor, blind, and naked as they were. And not all of us are in that dire strait, but all of us have a level of emptiness that needs to be filled. If we didn't, I mean, we would all be, you know, in heaven. I mean, because we lack that fulfillment of everything that God really wants to do in us. And that's him filling our emptiness.
That's good.
That's super good. It's like, you know, we do what we need to take care of our natural bodies, right? We take our medicines that the doctor tells us in order to keep this thing in check and that thing in check, or these vitamins to make these things stay the way they need to for a little bit longer. But when it comes to our spirituality and we're feeling that, like, what is it? Emptiness. We kind of tend to trick ourselves, like, oh, it'll be okay. I'll get to it. And we put it off. But would you put off that heart medication that keeps your heart pumping? Would you put off that cholesterol medicine that keeps your blood pressure in check? Would you, you know, like, you got to think about those things. Is more importantly than our, we do need to take care of our bodies. I am not saying don't do that. Please do, 100%, because of a lot of God's generals, which are people who live that faith and cause these revivals, some of them died because of really silly reasons, and that is because they forget to take care of their temples. Yeah. So please do, eat what you're supposed to be eating. Make sure you're taking your medications until you feel the Lord has given you word not to, or whatever it might be, but always check with your doctor, okay? Make sure, confirm. But I'm saying also, and also, if not more so, make sure that you're checking your spiritual vitals. How are you doing today? How's your heart? How's your spirit? Is it real? Is it hungry or is it starving? So if it is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to discipline your flesh? And instead of watching that show that would be really great to watch right now because you just had a really hard day, Are you going to go into the Word and let the Lord speak into that? Or are you going to take some time to worship? Or are you going to just pray and get that spiritual medication that needs to be happening to make sure that things are in check and in balance? Because that's important, you guys. That's what we need to have lasting. That's what we need to have strong if we're going to be any difference in the world. Because right now, we don't look very significant. We don't look very attractive to the world. We're actually not very different. Our divorce rates are super high. And sometimes I know it's not everybody's, it's not in the control of certain people, but it's like we forget the value of each other, right? We're not loving one another the way that we're supposed to. Our abilities to love people, instead we're going out with these signs of hate in this, just like the other side, right? We're spitting hate for the sake of love instead of coming at people with love and understanding and openness. So I want to be that difference. I want people to feel that difference around us, right? I want people to begin to have those miracles and begin to be bold and start praying. Like, that's what I want to challenge us in this week, is like not only fasting and stripping ourselves of those things that we don't want, but actually putting into practice what we do want to see. So if you know of a friend that's having a hard time, or maybe somebody says, oh, my shoulder, are you going to pray for them and activate the Holy Spirit and be willing to look a little indignified? Or be a little embarrassed? Or are we going to just continue in the routine that we would still be doing? So just little differences like that. Just put it into practice. Just give it a try and see what happens. And watch how Holy Spirit shows up. And even if he doesn't, don't make excuses for it. Just say, you know what? It is impossible for us to pray and nothing to happen. Amen. Right? Because Holy Spirit moves us from impossible situations into a position where it is impossible to fail. Francis Chan said that. And I was like, that is so right. I forget. Yeah. Holy Spirit moves us from an impossible situation into a position where it is impossible to fail. And he doesn't need excuses. We don't need to have translation sometimes. If you have a word for somebody and it doesn't make any sense to you, you just give them that word and don't try to interpret it. You just say, hey, I just heard this. I bless you with that. And then walk. You know, or pray and say, you know what, and if they don't notice any change, be like, you know what, that's okay. I'm believing that the change is going to happen, because it's impossible that when I pray my God to not show up and not do something. And watch, it doesn't always happen right away, but maybe a little bit later in the day, all of a sudden they realize it's been 4 hours and I haven't had any symptoms. Mm-hmm. So don't give up. And sometimes we won't ever get to see the fruit of what we've been praying into or pouring into, and we have to be okay with that.
Okay.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah. No, go ahead. I'm gonna.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. Okay. Well, before we end, does anyone have anything on their heart while we were sharing, something that the Lord put on your heart? No.
Or any testimonies from this week?
Testimony from this week. How about that? Yeah.
Because it's by the power of it's by the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony that we're gonna. Word of the testimony. I know my word, guys.
Well, good to have you pastors back. We've all been praying for you and missing you and everybody. You know, man, I could share about every day of this fast. It's been such a great experience, but I'm not getting comfortable with it. You know, because the end's not quite here yet. But, you know, last Sunday I got this touch. Amazing. And I was telling my wife, you know, about it. And I go, you know what? The problem, it's not the problem. The thing is that we're told be a Christian. Don't be a Christian Sunday to Sunday, right? Okay, but how about this? How about if we sometimes get busy and can't do that? How about we ask God if this is even proper? Because I've been talking to God saying, I don't want you to be my God just Sunday to Sunday. I want you to be my God every day of the week. Yeah. Guide me, direct me, be my God every day of the week. That might be as easy as hard as trying to not be a Sunday to Sunday Christian. So I encourage you all, if you know, you say, well, I can't, it's just Sunday to Sunday. No, that's what the enemy wants us to think and feel. You know, so let's ask God, Lord, be our God Sunday to Sunday. I want to share my devotional that I got today as well. Mm-hmm. It relates to what we're going through. Give me a sec here. This comes from a mentor, first mentor of mine. His name is Dick Baxter. Says Psalms 84:10, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Paul echoes this same thought in Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. It's your spiritual act of worship. Our love for God is simply to serve Him. Wherever you're at, church is the presence of God in our lives as we live in the world. God is with us all the time. Our worship is to love God, not so much by touchy or feely, but by a decision. Mm-hmm. God did not call us by feelings, but by faith. Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
Yes. Amen. That's good. Super good. This is so good. Oh, you got something to share? Awesome. No?
Good.
What I've been asking of Jesus is to help me learn to pray, because it's always been difficult for me. And a friend of mine yesterday on Facebook asked for prayer because her father had a stroke. And I just let him put the words out there, and I looked at it and I showed it to Vicki, and I was shocked with myself at the words that he brought out of me. So he's working good on me.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Hopi.
Jesus.
Yeah, you guys, I would just love if we were to just stand and begin to worship with each other again. And if you feel impressed, like you want that more than what you have now, there's no shame in that. I want you to come up and be a little bit indignified, like the father when he chased after, he saw his son, he was waiting for his prodigal son afar off, because he knew that if his son were to walk that street before he got to him, he was good as dead. And he didn't want that. And the God does not want that for us either. He wants us to want the more. He wants to give you more because you're precious to Him. He is willing to run that road and take the pots for us, so that, because in that day, like, people would throw things and stone the kids if they were trying to come back home. And so Jesus saw him from far off, and he ran undignified, right? He runs undignified after us, and he is willing to continue to run and continue to call and continue to knock at our door. So are you guys willing to open that door for him today so that he can move even stronger, even harder, even deeper in your life? And if you are, I just encourage you to come on up, and we'd love to just worship together and pray over one another to be lifted up and encouraged for that more to happen in Jesus' name.
Oh,
is your love for
So let this week be a week that you become even more amazed by God. Watch for Him to work in your life, to work in your heart, to work in your emptiness. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to get together. Thank You, God, that You allowed us to live in a country, Lord, where we are free to gather and worship. We thank You for that. Lord, right now I just pray for everyone that's here, that You would just do a work in their lives, Lord, today, tomorrow, in the coming days, Lord, that is one that would produce fruit in their lives and fruit that would remain. And we just thank You, Lord, that You are our God and we are Your people. You've called us by name. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.